just draws us one day closer to eternity. Need to be positive about this. And I thank God that we live in such a time as this. You know, he could have put us at any point in history if he wanted to, but he put us here. What exciting times. What exciting times to be living in. Isn't it positive? It's great to be living in a time like this. And tonight I want to share something that God's placed upon my heart. If you just turn with me to Matthew 24, we'll open with this scripture. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Very familiar verse. Matthew 24 and verse 13 says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Let's say that again. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Lord Jesus, be with us tonight as we go into your word. Help us, refresh us, open up our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Who here likes sports? Okay, there are certain sports people like and other sports we don't like. That's fair enough. Who here has watched a boxing match? Seen a highlight of a boxing match? You all know what it looks like when someone has a box. For most people, they see two guys in a ring beating each other up. Is that right? You know, it's good entertainment watching two people pulverize each other. Reminds me of having one of those meat bashers on the bench, you know, tenderizing meat. Doosh, doosh. But boxing is not about two men beating each other up. It says that you have to hit certain areas of the body to score points. Now, they can call it that if they want to. All right. But the more points you get, the higher the chance you win. But, you know, it's not about just the points. What really captures the minds of spectators is the duration of the match. You know, I can watch a couple of rounds and it's all over, great. But when you watch them go head to head for 12 rounds, okay, I could say that's just wonderful, but it's not. I know what it's watching people getting beat up, but the endurance going all the way through for 12 rounds. And there was a term that was developed, and they called it going the distance. Going the distance. And it refers to the full number of rounds in a match. Going the distance means fighting a full bout of 12 rounds without being knocked out. And tonight I've titled this message the very same thing, going the distance. Going the distance. And the analogy is simply this, that life is like a bout in the ring. We have us in one corner. And then we have the world, the devil, the sins and everything in the other corner. And then there's 12 rounds separating us from eternity. 12 rounds. But Jesus had the perfect answer to what we must do in order to get to eternity. He had the perfect answer. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That was the answer. It was endurance. It was making or going the distance. You know, this word endurance conjures up thoughts of pain and suffering. But think about it. Sister Brooke, do you like donuts? You do? I'm your fan as well. Have you ever sat down to eat a nice hot cinnamon donut, freshly cooked, covered in sugar? I have. They're tasty, aren't they? You know, the sugar just melts on your tongue when you sort of pop it in your mouth. And one bite is just not enough. Then it becomes one donut is not enough. The second donut, you know. But I don't have to endure a donut. I don't have to endure the sugar. I actually love it. That's not endurance. It's being a pig, you know. It's a... See, you're all laughing because you agree. But endurance requires effort. It requires work, doesn't it? Probably once I got to the eighth or ninth donut, it would become work. All right? Probably wouldn't touch one for a while again after that. But enduring requires pain. Enduring requires pain. You know, when you go to a gym, or however you choose to work out, when you pick up that weight, you know, there's resistance there. There's resistance there. And there has to be some sort of resistance to build something. All right? Now, I know from past experience, it's been many years since I've had a really good workout, and I can just remember there's been plenty of occasions. It wasn't just doing the weights that was the problem. It was the after effects, the pain. And I remember one night, I think it was maybe Bishop Downs was preaching. Can't remember what he was preaching. And I hobbled into church. All my muscles in my body were absolutely killing me. And I just sat down. I was probably the front pew here somewhere. And within about 5 minutes, Bishop Downs preaching, he said, "Brother Aaron, come up the front." I sort of, I could feel the pain. And he's got me to squat down on the floor. And I'm, no! But pain is gain. Not all the time. But pain is gain. And you know, over a few days, that pain becomes less and less. And then I'm ready to do it all again, punish myself. And someone just said, "I'm nuts." But that was back then. But this is what endurance is. It's pain. You know, I can't gain anything if I'm not pushing on something. I can't get anywhere if I'm not strengthened by what I'm doing. And it doesn't benefit us, any of us, if life is just a walk in the park. No problems, no issues, nothing to face. We just breeze on through. Where's the joy? Because everything becomes the same. And we need to learn that endurance is perseverance. Endurance is what will make you or break you. You know, it's never the easy road. It's always about facing adversity. And most of all, it's about winning. You know, I believe we are in the 12th round of our fight. Time is coming to a close. We are starting to see right before our eyes things coming to pass that once upon a time would have been just a story. But in this day and age, we are seeing things come to pass in front of our eyes. But we must endure. We must make it through. You are coming to the end of the match. Not to the end of the round, but the end of the match. Eternity is just up ahead. We need to push through. We need to persevere. We need to carry the light of God's word. Amen. But you know something? I get tired of hearing this. I get tired of hearing myself say it sometimes. I have a problem. Who's heard that? I have a problem. We even say it ourselves. Or even worse, I don't have a problem. Which is even further on from I have a problem. We all have problems. This is why we are in the house of God. First being the sin problem. You can't deal with that. Jesus can deal with that though. Praise God. But let's just narrow this down a little bit further. Let's look at one problem in particular. It's called the victim mentality. Or it's been referred to as the martyr complex. Who's ever been called a martyr? Now stop being a martyr, will you? Don't put your hands up, it's okay. In psychology, a person who has a martyr complex, you know, this is what they do. They desire the feeling of being a martyr for his or her own sake, seeking out suffering or persecution because it either feeds their psychological needs or a desire to avoid responsibility. This issue is a prevalent one. And I know at some stage I have suffered with being a martyr. God, why does this happen to me? Yeah? Everything I'm going through, it's not fair. We've said that. I'm being honest and blunt here tonight. We cannot continue with a defeated attitude. We cannot continue to live like we're beaten, like we're done, like it's over, like it's finished. We cannot continue to go on the roller coaster downwards. But God has called us to be more than just somebody who just gets knocked down and stays down. He's called us more than being a martyr, than being a victim. He's called us to be the children of God. It's time, saints of God, that we own a few things. I've got to own my problems, acknowledge I have one, and then get God to help me deal with it. We need to move on. We need to move forward. We need to keep pressing on for Jesus. Brethren, telling someone else, Brother Craig, I've got a problem. Would you like to hear all about it? There you go. He doesn't want to know. Thanks, brother. Honestly. But that's true. Pretending it will go away doesn't fix the problem. Dwelling on it certainly doesn't fix the problem. Who's worried about something? Waking up in the morning, did it fix it? Worrying about it? Or you end up with a bad night's sleep? Yeah, there you go. Having a woe is me attitude will not bring about a solution to your problem or problems. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't resolve it. It doesn't provide any solutions. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer for you tonight. You are not a victim anymore. You're not a victim anymore. You are not a victim anymore. Amen. You know what Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You're not the only one in this room tonight who's had it rough. You're not the only one in this place to have fallen from grace. You're not the only one in this place who's been hurt, manipulated, exposed, left out in the cold, set aside. I can assure you there are many people in this house tonight that have experienced those things at one stage or another. But the difference is this. The difference is this. When they got knocked down, they got knocked down. They went down. And they began to get up again. Rejoice. Not against me. Oh, my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice. Not against me. O my enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. Hear me out. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Don't let the enemy rejoice over you, brother. When you get knocked down, get up. Hallelujah. Sister Elsa, when you get knocked down, don't give the enemy that satisfaction. You just get up. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am a winner. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus didn't rise from the dead so that you could keep moaning and complaining and whinging and saying how hard it really is. Jesus rose from the dead so that you could have victory over sin, that you could have victory over the sin problem, and you could have victory over your problems. Don't you worry about what this world is chanting. Don't you worry about what's going on the other side of the ring. Sure, they're chanting for their team. They're chanting because they think they're winning. But you know, I read the back of the book. We win. We win. Hallelujah, Jesus. We win. Praise God, eternity is just a step away, saints of God. Keep hanging on to Jesus. Keep hanging on to his hand because he'll never let you go. He will never let you fall away. Walk in his steps. You know something? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now I'm going to be the standard bearer for Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk around with the standard of Jesus. And when Jesus lifts up that standard, his name's on that standard. Praise God. He's got a people of God that still believe in him. He's got a people of God that still stand for the faith. He's got a people of God that are willing to march in the face of adversity. He has us. We heard it this morning, a remnant. But praise God, revival is coming. Amen. Revival is coming. That's what adversity does. That's what endurance does. That's what happens when you squeeze something. Revival happens. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm excited tonight because of what God is doing in this nation. What God is doing in this city. Amen. You know, I have somebody on the floor that I work with a guy dressed up as a woman. Two sections, three sections down from where I work. You know what I want to do? Well, there you go. I want to preach him to the altar. But saints of God, they need hope as well. They need something that will tell them, someone that will tell them that Jesus is the only way. You know, we can't judge a person by what's on the outside. But God, he said, I look upon the heart. You know, that very person we could be judging could be the next Paul. We don't know that. That person we're judging could be the next Apostle Peter. But you know, God's the one that does the work. God's the one that does the change. God's the one that moves. Amen. He that endures to the end. David, he went up against the giant. And you know, I'm probably not even that tall yet. Giants probably, well, I'd probably be about right. From the floor down there to up here. He was a big guy. Big guy. And you know, my wife's cringing down there. Don't you fall off. There you go. Is that better, darling? Okay. All right, I'll get up here. That's a bit safer, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, look. But David went against a giant. Now, I could say we all have giants in our lives. We all do. But David, on this particular day, he wasn't just facing a giant that was coming just against him. He was facing a giant that was railing on the people of God. The people of God had somehow lost their cause along the way. They had somehow lost their way. And in steps David, 8 foot tall, burly guy. No, it tells us he was ruddy. He was small. He was just a normal guy. But you know what made the difference in David's life when it came to the giant? He had already been facing adversity up to that point. The Bible tells us that he had faced a lion, that he had already faced a bear. Who here tonight faced a lion and a bear? Yes, spiritually we have. I wouldn't want to face one in the flesh. I like the ones where they've got a nice big barrier there at the zoo. But David confronted the giant knowing the God who delivers. He didn't have any doubt in his mind whatsoever that God was going to do what he said he would do. And he got a bag of rocks. Only needed one though, but he got a bag. And he went up against the giant, but he didn't just go up against a giant with a rock. He went up against a giant in the name of the Lord of hosts. He called upon the name of the Lord. And he slung that rock. And off went that rock. And you know, I wish I was there watching. It would have been spectacular. I'm not sure anyone else would see it that way, but watching that rock. And the Bible said that the rock sunk into his head. And I believe the Lord had taken that rock and he was pushing it. Pushing it. Then, I'm getting to a point here. David used rocks. But tonight, if you have a giant in your life, you can use the rock. You can use the rock. And his name is Jesus. And right now, if you have a giant in your life, and I believe some people have carried some burdens into this place tonight, and I'm praying that you would use the rock, Jesus Christ, to bring down your giant in this place. That you would call upon the name of the Lord of hosts. And I can tell you that with that one rock, Jesus Christ, your giant will come down. Your giant will come down. Going the distance. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. But this one thing I do, and everyone says one thing. Wasn't 10 things. Paul said one thing. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Praise God, forgetting those things which are behind. Praise the Lord. We've just had a survey and we lost that one. But it doesn't mean we've lost the battle altogether, praise God. So I can tell you tonight, we haven't lost, amen. We need to change this mindset of being beaten because we haven't been beaten. We are only one step away from eternity, amen. Brethren, when I stand in the presence of the King in that day. Who's looking forward to that day? Amen. We got to keep looking ahead, saints. There's no point looking back what's happened. We got to keep looking ahead. We need to keep enduring. We need to keep fighting. Because in that day when I stand before the King, I want to hear those words, well done. Well done. Well done. In essence, a man who went the distance. The man who endured the race. The man who fought the good fight. Here is a crown. And praise God, that crown is not going to be for me only. Even Paul said the same thing. There's a crown laid up for each and every one of us. If we would but endure the hardships, if we would but endure the tough times, if we would but fight the good fight, praise God. This fight is not over. This fight is not done. I'm telling you now, this world can knock me down as many times as it wants to. But one thing is certain. One thing is certain. You tell the world. You tell hell. You tell the enemy, I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, saints of God. How we need to take a hold of the hand of Jesus. How we need to persevere when things are tough. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is here. You don't need to wait another day to get the answer you're looking for. You don't need to fight this fight on your own. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you until the end of time. And tonight we find ourselves here in the house of God. And no, it wasn't by coincidence. Brother Francis, God didn't say, wow, I'm surprised to see you here tonight. Sister Bethany, woo, I didn't know you were coming. God doesn't act like that. God sees everything from the beginning to the end. He's not surprised that you're here tonight. In fact, he's delighted that you're here tonight. You are in the 12th round. If the musicians would come. And you've taken a number of hits. And you know, I'm not saying for one moment it's fun to take a beating. I'm not saying for one moment I enjoy getting knocked down. You know, I said to my home group just recently, I said to them, there's not a day that goes past that I don't feel pain in my body. But you know, it reminds me that I need Jesus. And we need Jesus tonight. Don't be a martyr anymore. Don't be a victim anymore. But look up. Look to the one that can make the difference in your life. We need to go the distance, saints of God. And the only way we can do that is surrendering all we are to Jesus. We need to surrender all our problems. We need to surrender all our uncertainties. We need to surrender all our fears. We need to surrender all our anxieties. We need to put them at the feet of Jesus.